Well, I hope you all will be patient with me this morning. I did have a few minutes to collect a thought that I would like to share with you. We'll be reading a short story, and I'll make some comments along the way, and I do have your typical 3 points that I would like to make here. And so I'll try to keep it cohesive enough for you. But the story this morning is in 2 Kings chapter 5, if you'll join me with that. This is a troubled time for Israel. They are constantly being raided from the kingdoms to the north. In our story this morning, it will describe them as Aram. It's also the Assyrians, but it's the same group of people that live north of them. And this is just before the Assyrians do finally move in and take out the northern kingdom. So it's that time in history. It was also the time of Elisha. And there are a number of short stories during this time. As I mentioned, it's a very troubled time for them. In this particular story, there's a young lady that's described who was actually taken as a slave on one of these raids. And she becomes a servant to the people of Aram. So as we read this, just understand the background and the time frame that we're in. The people of Israel are quite evil at this time. That we've had a succession now of very evil kings. And so the only really presence of God that's taking place right now is through the prophets. And certainly Elisha is one of those. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Let's stop there for just a moment. Here we have a commander of the army. And he, evidently he's quite successful. But he has a troubling affliction, and that's leprosy. Now, certainly during this time, it may have been an actual leprosy, but it may have just been a skin condition. Later we'll see that it was a particular spot that was concerning to him. But he's afflicted to the point that it's quite bothersome. Let's read on. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Here we have a young lady who's been taken captive as a slave. She's serving Naaman's wife, but she knows of the prophet. She knows that this one individual has the power to heal him. Even in her captivity, she's still concerned about the master of the house there. And so she tells her mistress, certainly that would have been the approach, she would not have approached Naaman himself, that, you know, if he would just go there, and I know he could be healed. So here's this young lady who's a slave having concern for her captors. And it's a unique relationship. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." Now this is kind of an odd dynamic if you ask me, because as I mentioned, they've been kind of warring back and forth for some time. These raiding parties would come from Aram down into Israel, and they might mess with this city or that city, or they take some plunder with them each time. And Naaman is one of the commanders of these armies that are going in and out. And he is asking his master, or the king, can I go down there and see if I can get some help? That tells me several things. It tells me, one, that Naaman's affliction was quite bothersome, to go into enemy territory to seek medical assistance, some sort of cure from his affliction. It also tells me that Naaman was well regarded by the king, to honor him in that way. He even wrote a special letter for him to take to the king of Israel. And not only that, 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold. Now, my little subscript down here says that's about 170 pounds of silver and about 150 pounds of gold. That's a lot of weight. So this was not a small caravan that was going. I mean, there were some beasts of burden carrying that much weight. And even in our time, you consider that kind of riches is just immeasurable, to have 150 pounds worth of gold. But they're taking it in hopes of paying for the cure. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." So the king of Israel obviously thinks that something's going on here. Thinks that the northern king is picking on him, just kind of taunting him with this unusual request. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." Pretty simple, right? Except if you're a guy from Aram. Why would I do such a silly thing? Who is this guy? Naaman's kind of put out about it. Let's read on here. But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over this spot, and cure me of my leprosy." He's at least expecting this guy to come out and meet him. Maybe place his hand on him or say a prayer or something. Instead, he sends his servant out. Just go dip in the Jordan 7 times, then I'll take care of it. He's furious by this point. "Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. I get the feeling that he's coming back with a war party. That's probably what's on his mind. He's infuriated that he's being shamed in such a way. How about go back to Syria and dip in those waters? I mean, they're better than the waters in Israel, aren't they? Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Imagine that. You have this affliction. You finally do what the guy tells you to do. And you come out of the water and your skin is young. It's clean. You're healed. What would be the response? You might have a change of mind, wouldn't you? The Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." And Elisha says, "Go in peace." Very short story. Has a few interesting twists and turns. But here's a man that he's mighty among his people, afflicted, asked to go down to be healed. And it was simply the words of Elisha that healed him once he responded to those words. The reason I chose this story this morning is it has particular significance to me. This story was told to me after I had been studying a while, and I was baptized that night after this story, right there. So it has significance to me. And the fellow that was studying with me, Ken Ellis, many of you may remember him, was studying with me at the time. And as we read that, the light bulb went off in my head. And I'll make my 3 points. First, there is a God. A powerful God. A God that's able to heal leprosy. But it's also a God that can heal us. He has that much power. Point number two. The response to God is simple. Look back at what Naaman was asked to do. 7 dips in the water. Nothing more. A simple response is all it took. I mean, he had to have a little coaching and insistence from his family and friends, but if you wanted to do something great, you would have done it, but this is something simple we were asked to do. And once he did, it became obvious. The response, though, if you'll notice, it came with action. Naaman had to go do something in response to the words of the prophet. And my final point, it's by grace that we're healed. It's not the gold or the silver or the sets of clothes that Naaman was going to offer. Elisha recognized that. It's not something that came by purchasing it. It was something that came from God. I'll conclude this morning with just a short telling. It's a story that we all know. Acts chapter 3. or actually chapter 2. We know it all as Day of Pentecost. And after Peter's preaching there, the people were cut to their heart and they ask, what do we do? It's obvious that we've done wrong. What do we do? Peter's response, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And then the chapter summarizes that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now, putting that little brief thing there in Acts that happened with that story in 2 Kings, I hope the message is obvious. The response to God's call is simple. The action necessary is baptism. And it's nothing that we can do to bring it other than through God's grace. Is anyone here this morning in that condition? If there is, certainly now would be a great time to come forward and let that be known. Let's stand and sing, please.